Fisher rising up like birds. It's been hot for 7 weeks now, too hot to even speak now. Did you hear what I just heard? Say it might have been a fiddle, or it could have been the wind. But there seems to be a beat now, I can feel it in my feet now. Listen, here it comes again. Spinning dizzy, Lord, the band kept us so busy, we forgot about the time. They're a band beyond description, like Jehovah's favorite choir. People joining hand in hand while the music plays the band. Lord, they're setting us on fire. Crazy rooster crowing midnight. Balls of lightning roll along. Old men sing about their dreams. Women laugh and children scream. And the band keeps playing on.
This is WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, The Grateful Dead, The Music Never Stopped. I'm Robbie Grant, and you're about to hear a conversation I had with one of the most decorated producers in rock history. 6 Grammy records with the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Bonnie Raitt, and Willie Nelson, and countless others. His name is Don Was, and right now he's back in his bandleader role, bringing his Pan-Detroit ensemble to Memphis to GPAC, the Germantown Performing Arts Center, on March 29th for a soulful reimagining of the Grateful Dead's Blues for Allah. This hour, we'll be talking to him about all kinds of stuff and playing some music, but let's get started. Here's my conversation with Don Was. Don, how you doing?
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with me. So this show's been a long time coming now. I mean, you had your tour going, and then we had this crazy ice storm in January and had to reschedule.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, so first, just happy that you're able to kind of work it in. And so you're going to be playing just 2 shows. You're going to do Memphis, and then prior to that, you're doing Big Ears in Knoxville.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And have you been to Big Ears before?
I was there last year. Yeah. I didn't play last year. We set up a Blue Note pop-up store.
Oh, right.
And I did some interviews and And I saw some incredible shows. I think it's the best festival in the world. I really do, man. I'm getting there early. We're playing on the 28th, but I'm going to get there on the 26th so I can see a bunch of bands.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll be there this year, and it's the kind of festival you just walk around and you don't even know who's playing, and you just walk in and are amazed. So I'm excited. I'll see you guys there because I'm going to be there through Sunday. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But you're reimagining Blues for Allah. You know, it's really experimental. It's a jazz leaning record for them. What drew you to that record, and why Blues for Allah?
Well, you know, I got to play a lot of the songs playing with Bob Weir. I was in his band until January. You know, a group called the Wolf Brothers, and you know, I was familiar with those songs. What happened was, our band was out touring, and we were doing the original songs. We put out an album in October, and we were pretty much playing the album. And we got an offer to play this Deadhead Festival in Buford, Georgia. And we thought, all right, that sounds kind of cool. So and the woman who was promoting it said, you know, it's the 50th anniversary of Blues for Allah. You want to play that album? And thought, all right, that's a good challenge, because in addition to songs that everybody knows, like The Music Never Stopped, there's some pretty obscure stuff that you didn't hear them play very often.
Yeah.
Maybe once or twice ever. You know?
Yeah.
And I always thought it was just kind of improvisational noodling.
Right.
And then like a song like King Solomon's Marbles, say, which is pretty a fairly obscure song, right? And I didn't understand what the structure was, so I took the time to learn them. And sure enough, there is a foundation on which to build. And then the challenge was for us to not play karaoke Grateful Dead.
Right.
When I first started playing with Bobby, I was a little haunted by Phil and you know, by O'Teal and Dead and Company, because I play really differently from them. And Phil, I don't know. I can't really figure out what he's doing.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
There are no bass parts to learn. It's different every single time you hear the song. And I think he was a genius, but I don't know how to play like that.
Yeah.
So it kind of drove me crazy at first when I joined up with Bobby. And finally, after about two or three shows, he said, you know, if you want to play this music the way we did it, we weren't playing to a style or anything like that. We were just being ourselves.
Right.
So don't forget about Phil. You be you, right? And that was a great relief. And I felt the same thing. Now, all right, if our band is going to start playing these songs, we can't try to sound like the Grateful Dead or feel like the Grateful Dead. So taking Bobby's advice, we Detroitized it just a little bit.
Yeah, that's Don Was. And when he says Detroit-sized it, he means through the lens of a lifetime of music. The band Bob Weir invited Don into, the Wolf Brothers, was built on that same idea. Be yourself, honor the music, and show up every night. Bob Weir passed away on January 10th of this year, just before Don's Pan Detroit Ensemble tour began. Donna said that Bob's example, the way Bob went on with the show the night Jerry Garcia died in 1995, is what kept this tour alive. This one's for Bob. This is Bob Weir and the Wolf Brothers doing Mama Tried live. Thank you.
My words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung. Would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. Rippled in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. must follow. But if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da. 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 La da da da.
The Grateful Dead with Ripple. Let's get back into my interview with Don Was. He's about to tell you exactly why that song hits. Right now, more with Don Was on WYXR 91.7 FM. I mean, that audience wants to, you know, they like to be pushed in that type of music. Yeah. And so that's, yeah. they're really accepting of that. I mean, did you grow up a Deadhead, or how did you approach that? Like, when did you make that connection with that music? Was it when you met Bob Weir? Was it prior to that? Or, I mean, how did you enter that realm? It's a deep realm.
It's a very deep realm. Yeah. And even though I saw him in 1972 in Detroit at the Easttown Ballroom, and I was a jazz fan, mm-hmm. so I dug what they were doing. I thought, mm-hmm. all right, I get it. There's a structure, but they stretch out within that structure, and they do it differently every night, which is basically the same thing Miles Davis was doing. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I could relate. But I wasn't a Deadhead, and truly, it wasn't really until Bobby started Wolf Brothers and I got on stage and started playing those songs that, A, I realized how much fun they are to play. They mm-hmm. just kind of roll off your fingers. They're beautifully written songs. But I could also see how the lyrics landed with the audience. You could see it, and mm-hmm. you could feel it. Mm-hmm. And the poetry of those songs... It's just impressionistic enough to resonate for everybody. Yeah. Everybody can find a way to hang their emotional lives on some line in some song.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And I could see that we play Ripple, say, like every four or five nights as the encore.
Yeah.
And I could tell you what I think that song's about and what it means to me, but I could see it meant different lines meant different things to different people, but you could see them all, you know, kind of crying and hugging each other. And it was kind of like going to church when you played Ripple.
Yeah.
It's like a hymn.
Yeah. They're quite a it's quite a community. And to see those people come together over the different bands and different offshoots is pretty, pretty amazing. Music is community. So they've built just really an amazing community. And
it's remarkable. And also they listen. They're listening to the music really intently, and you can feel them and see them mm-hmm. react. And when you get that energy coming back to the stage, it actually impacts your choice of the next notes. So the band becomes the band, and the audience becomes a member of the band, really.
Yeah.
And they start impacting the music, and then you get a band like we had in the Wolf Brothers, or like the Dead, or really like the Pan Detroit Ensemble, which is kind of modeled after that, where there's structure, but we approach it differently every night.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little about the band, the Pan Detroit Ensemble. All Detroit musicians, congrats on the new record. Yeah. I played Midnight Marauders yesterday on my show.
Oh, nice. Thank you very much.
And love it, and excited to see it. Tell me about the band. Like, who's in it? How did y'all come together? Because this is the debut album. I mean, you're a seasoned veteran in the music industry, but this is the debut album for this. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. Well, my buddy Terrence Blanchard, great jazz musician, opera composer, film score. He was curating a series for the Detroit Symphony Orchestra mm-hmm. on Detroit jazz. And he asked me if I wanted to do one of the nights. And I said, sure. And then as it got closer, I realized I didn't have a band. And I didn't have any songs to play. So I remembered a lesson I learned back in the 90s when I started getting on a roll as a producer. And got to work with a bunch of my heroes, but it you know, Bob Dylan, Brian Wilson,
Wow.
Chris
Yeah.
Christopherson, Willie Nelson, Mick and Keith, Leonard Cohen, all kind of almost in a row within a couple of years. And it gave me a really serious case of writer's block because I was daunted by how great these cats were, right? So finally, I was in the studio with Willie one day, and again, lamenting the fact that I can never be Willie Nelson. And
Right.
then the converse hit me. Yeah, but Willie Nelson can never be you.
Right.
Willie Nelson didn't drop acid and go to the Grandy Ballroom and see the MC5 and the Stooges. Willie Nelson didn't have George Clinton play all right. Be the thing that makes you different isn't a marketing problem. It's actually your superpower. That's what hit me. And so I always told artists I was working with, or artists who are on Blue Note, that you have to accentuate the thing that makes you stand out. Work on that, the stuff that isn't like everybody else. I thought when I had to do this gig for Terrence, I thought, well, just be yourself, just go back to Detroit, get in a room with the best musicians you can think of from Detroit who grew up listening to the same radio stations and playing in the same bars and playing for the same audiences, and basically were the product of the ethos of a one industry blue collar town like Detroit. So I called eight people who all looked, I played with all of them before, but the nine of us had never all played together at once. And it just clicked from the first minute. And we spoke the same musical language. And I found that there was a really broad stylistic area that we could operate within,
That's incredible.
ranging from the Grateful Dead to Yusuf Lateef songs, or something like Midnight Marauders, which was a Fat Freddy's Drop song originally, right? And so we just started playing, and there is a thing about Detroit music. It's got a feel and a soul to it that is unique, and that there's an appetite for around the world.
Let's hear something from Don's newest record. This is Don Was and the Pan Detroit Ensemble with Midnight Marauders off his latest LP, Groove in the Face of Adversity. Don will be appearing at GPAC March 29th, doing a soulful reimagining of the Grateful Dead's Blues for Allah and playing stuff off this record.
Take my eyes, that I could be so blind that I could not see it was there waiting. Lost and found the second time around. Oh, take it from me. Now I see. Would not waste a moment. Oh, no. Midnight show.
That's a blast from the past. That's Was Not Was, Don's own Detroit band from a while back. The man has always been Detroit, and we've got one more segment coming up, and he's got something to say about Memphis and Detroit. Let's get back with Don Was on WYXR 91.7 FM. Yeah, and I mean, there's a comparison there with Memphis. I mean, Memphis is absolutely. We'll talk about that a lot in the same breath, you know, Hitsville and Soulsville and Motown and Stax. I mean, we're defined by soul music here as well. I mean, I've always thought there's a simpatico relationship with the folks in Detroit.
They're very similar. Very similar. Working class town.
Yeah.
And also there's something about being removed from the fashion centers of the world.
That was
you
good.
know, the great music, I think, comes from the provinces. In Detroit, for example, like the Motown musicians were all local jazz musicians, and they were trying to imitate New York R&B records, and they got it wrong in
right,
a way,
right,
but
right.
but so right.
Right. Mr. Dub, reggae, all that stuff comes out of like just doing it your own way, you know, having that thing, and then you're trying to approach it. Yeah, and I mean, Stax, same thing, you know, the neighborhood kids knocking the doors down over at the studio, and I mean, all the stars from Stax lived probably within, you know, a 2 mile radius of there. So, and we, you know, I mean, Memphis, we have to keep telling people about our legacy. I mean, do you find that with Detroit too? Like, you got to remind people like the importance of it, of Detroit and
well,
the music there.
That's kind of become our mission, really.
Yeah, good.
You know, I start every show up by saying we are on a mission to promulgate the indigenous sounds of our hometown.
There you go.
I feel we're out there representing, and that's an important thing to do.
Heck yeah. I mean, that's basically the mission here at WYXR. It's like uplift the legacy musicians that have been overlooked and then amplify the new musicians too, but bring in those people together. So yeah. So that's, I love hearing that. So
we're barking up the same tree, Rob.
Yeah, heck yeah. And you just kind of hinted at it. But you're a DJ. I mean, you do a lot of stuff. What? Tell us about your radio. You've got two radio shows that you do.
I have two radio shows that I'm doing. I do a live radio show on the Detroit NPR station with a kind of legendary Detroit DJ named Ann DeLisi.
Cool.
And we go live every Friday night. And WDET is the station.
Nice.
And it's like playing a gig.
Yeah.
You know, I really love live radio, and I think the people who are listening to the show stay with us for the full 2 hours. So you plan a set the same way you plan a show, and I can actually feel people listening. Once I settle in, the first it's just like a stage show. You get a rush of adrenaline, takes about 10-15 minutes to settle, and then you're grooving, and when I'm grooving, I can feel people listening.
Yeah. Because it's a passive audience. They can't hit the like button. They can't share, you know, and it is really just kind of like, you got to feel the vibrations. I would totally agree. And my 2 hour radio show I do Wednesdays on the afternoon is like my favorite time of the week. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and it's a lot of work to plan it out and really to come up with something of consequence to say about each song besides, you know, what its chart position was or the year it came out or whatever, you know, it takes about, it's like having a term paper due every Thursday.
And I do it with a buddy as well. So at least like we split the work. So it's not like, I don't have to do all the work. I cheat off him sometimes and vice versa.
Very good. That's good to know. All right. Let me try that.
Well, I really appreciate you chatting with me. And we've got, as a reminder, Don Was and the Pan Detroit Ensemble is going to be March 29th at the Germantown Performing Arts Center at 7:30 p.m. It's a reschedule from January. I think there's maybe a few tickets left. I know it was close to selling out or sold out in January. Yeah. So I would get your tickets now. And you're doing a reimagining of the Grateful Dead's Blues for Allah.
Yeah, that's what we play the album in the middle of our set. We play longer. The album takes about 55 minutes to get to. We'll play for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You know?
But,
in the middle of the set, we play the album in order in its entirety.
Yeah. Killer. Well, you got to promise. You got to promise me next time you roll through Memphis, you'll come guest DJ with me or some of us.
Oh, I'd love to,
station.
Man. Love to. Yeah,
cool.
It's a deal.
Cool. Well, great talking to you, and I'll see you in Knoxville too at Big Ears.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
All right, cool. Good. Thanks, Don.
Come say hi, man.
Okay.
Adios,
see you, man.
Bye. Take care.
Yeah.
See you. Bye-bye.
That's my interview with Don Was, and he promised me on air the next time he's in Memphis, he's coming in to guest DJ on WYXR, and I'm holding him to it. Don Was and the Pan Detroit Ensemble play the Germantown Performing Arts Center, better known as GPAC, on Sunday, March 29th at 7:30 p.m., tickets at gpacweb.com. The show is co-presented by Mempho Presents, and this is WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, and we'll leave you with the song that brought all of this together. Here's the Grateful Dead doing Blues for Allah live, in which the Pan Detroit Ensemble will be reimagining on March 29th.
On vocals and guitar, Mr. Jerry Garcia. On guitar and vocals, Mr. Bob Weir. A la batterie on the drums, Mr. Bill Kreutzmann. On the keyboards, Mr. Keith Gottschall. On bass and vocals, Mr. Philip Lesh. A la batterie on the drums, Mr. Mickey Hart. On the keyboards, Mr. Merle Saunders. Ladies and gentlemen, the Grateful Dead and their friends.